Hello and welcome back to the Pretty Little Podcast. We're your hosts.
My name is Phoebe.
And my name is Caroline. And today we are going to be recapping season 5, episode 22 of Pretty Little Liars called To Plea or Not To Plea. And I have to tell you, Phoebe, after watching the episode, I am particularly impressed with this title, I have to say.
Pretty freaking good. It really wraps up.
Yes, it really sums it all up. And I gave it a little bit of shit last week, I think. I think we've been giving the titles a little bit of shit, and rightfully
so. Well, definitely the titles, but this one, I don't remember us saying anything about this one.
I think that I couldn't remember the name, and then we were like, well, it must have been fucking stupid then.
Oh, I do think that. I think that is what you said.
Thank you for just saying it had to be me. I was trying to just bring us both down to make it look like I wasn't the villain, but my plan has been foiled. But the title, you guys, because this episode, spoilers, is all freaking about, is Allie going to take this freaking plea deal? And it's also about Spencer going on a date to the theater to see Hamlet.
That whole Spencer thing is so funny. And this is how we know Ari is such a pick me, because we haven't heard like really one thing about how much like Spencer loves Shakespeare enough for it to be on her bucket list to go see it in London. And I guarantee you, Aria has only ever seen Romeo and Juliet with Leonardo DiCaprio.
Aria's like, I actually love modern day adaptations of the Bard's work.
Oh, she would have loved this one. Unlike Spencer.
Well, you know, it's also funny because I feel like, remember last episode when Aria gets on the phone, gets on the horn with Spencer, and she's like, hey, Spencer, some of us have real issues. Like, shut the hell up. I don't care about you reenacting the scene from the movie Carrie in your Oxford interview. Like, we, some of us have real things. And I think maybe she was projecting. Maybe she was just pissed off that Spencer's going to London. For all we know, Arya's never been. You mean Spencer's going to travel somewhere Arya hasn't been yet? And on top of that, she's going to see Hamlet at the Royal Shakespeare Theater? Yeah, Arya's not going to be pleased. She didn't want to hear a single detail about this trip.
She's definitely aesthetically into like Big Ben, the Union Jack,
yeah,
Harrods.
Oh yeah, yeah. She's definitely like that's gonna be the first study abroad trip she takes, not the last.
Sometimes
but the first
what I
in
do
college.
When you post pictures of just me and you invite me to be a collaborator.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up.
I wait until I see what the general public consensus is of how I look in the picture.
Okay, and then, but Phoebe?
And then I collaborate.
Did you just accept it?
No, not yet, but I will because someone just complimented me.
Okay, well, Phoebe, I'm gonna, okay. I'm gonna talk a little bit on this. I'm so glad you brought this subject up because I did have some stuff to say about it. So first of all, I want all of you guys to know Phoebe likes that picture of her. Phoebe sent me that picture of her. And
sometimes,
I even said to her,
though,
I, her sister who doesn't give out compliments easily, I said, Phoebe, you look amazing in this picture. I gave that to you and that wasn't enough.
No, but you know how it feels sometimes where like you see a picture of yourself and you're like, I think I really like that picture of myself.
Both of you to assume I know how that feels.
Then you start seeing it like so much and you're like, wait.
Yes.
Do I like it? And then there was the first thing I saw this morning on my phone. And I was like, wait, is this the ugliest picture on planet Earth of me?
And you guys, here's what Phoebe just admit to all of us, that she not only woke up to the photo of herself, but she fell asleep too. She fell asleep with her phone in her hand, looking, studying that photo of herself, and then woke up in the same exact position and said, oh my God, I must have fallen asleep while burning the midnight oil. So the first thing is that Phoebe did send me that picture, so she likes it. And I told her that it was a good picture, so she knows that objectively it must be if I said it. And then I said I was going to be posting it. And then Phoebe's like brought the picture up other times as well. So I like definitely know she likes it. I'm like, okay, we're safe. Like surely she's going to be thrilled to accept this collaboration. Now I did add one little thing to this picture that I thought might deter you from accepting it, and it was this. Well, there were two things. One, the song, and two, I did turn it into a podcast promo. But Phoebe, as you guys know, is embarrassed of this podcast, so she doesn't like to share it on her personal page. And I did That's think that true. Might deter her. But then I thought, hey, guess what? I don't give a fuck. I get bullied on the reg for this podcast. You deserve to be bullied as well. And if you look great, then that's just the best way to do it. And then the other thing I want to say, Phoebe, is that if you were to just have accepted the collaboration hours ago, all of your followers would have commented and said, oh my God, you look amazing, idiot.
But what if they didn't? But what if they didn't?
They would have. That's because the they're just being nice, even if they don't believe it. But it does happen to be a great picture of you, so they would have. Anyhow, so you're going to accept, or you did?
I'm going to.
Thank God. I mean, I'm not going to hold my breath, but thank God. But if you hadn't accepted it by 24 hours, we would have to exchange words. So I'm glad you've come to your senses.
I'm glad we got that out of the way.
Guys, anyway.
I will just a quick apology at the top of the episode. I'm sorry. I'm still a little bit congested sounding, but I feel so much better.
All right. Well, I have the honor and the privilege of doing the recap this week. So I'll just go ahead and do it then. Oh my God, I didn't organize it. Okay, I'm flying by the seat of my freaking pants, you guys. Buckle up.
Guys, welcome to my world.
Okay. I did think it was funny that somebody responded to our story where I posted the closet view of Mary-Kate and Ashley in New York Minute. You know what I'm talking about? And they responded to Mary-Kate, very messy, grungy, as Phoebe. And then they responded to Ashley, who's like all in pastels and everything has been... starched and ironed, and they said that was me. And what I want to say is I love that you guys think I'm this type A person, but this morning I texted Tara from Gilmore to Say, and I sent her a screenshot of a text from someone else, and she sends back a screenshot of my screenshot and says, yeah, just quick question, and it's my 900 unread text messages in the corner. So I just want you all to know there's really nothing type A going on over here, but I'm glad I present that way.
And hey, everybody, guess what? When I flew home last night and I walked into my apartment from being gone, I forgot that I gave myself a gift.
You cleaned.
My apartment was spotless when I walked in here. I was floored. I cleaned my kitchen sink.
Wow.
Like my kitchen sink
is
spotless.
Well, thank God, Phoebe, because you left and that would have been disgusting to come back to.
Well, no. It's always like empty and like clean. But I mean, like I cleaned it with chemicals.
Good. Nice.
Yes.
That is the best. I mean, every time I go somewhere, it's like the house has to.
It's like the last thing that you think about. It's the last thing you think about before you leave, and then you're leaving and it's like whatever. And then you do get back and you're like, oh, awesome.
No, it's the most important thing you can do before you go somewhere is just make sure that when you get home, you're not going to want to kill yourself. That's just a good thing. Okay, so moving on. Hannah is currently trying to clear her name from Mona's murder because she realizes that somebody, but we don't know who, is framing her. And they're framing her by renting a storage unit in Hannah's name the day before Mona gets murdered and then putting like everything from the Mona crime scene in that storage unit. So Hannah and Caleb go to clear it out. And of course, they get caught by Lieutenant Butterscotch and Toby. So it just kind of raises some more eyebrows. It's not looking good. And then Hannah's just like walking down the street one day and some lawyer comes up to her and says that Hannah has been selected to handle Mona's affairs, her post-mortem affairs. And he had to wait like 30 days before approaching her and he gives her something. And it's just very, very weird. And Hannah's being framed. So tensions are a little bit high in the Marin Manor while Allie rots in prison. And Allie figured out that she can tell her lawyers about Mike the Menace Montgomery and get off because he knows for a fact that Mona framed, like, was setting up her own death and that something just must have gone awry. But he knows that it could not have been Allie because he knows Cyrus got Allie out of town that night. But Aria, of course, me, Aria, has begged Allison not to tell anybody about that because she needs to figure out how to protect her brother first. But she's kind of doing a shitty job of it. Hate to say it. Emily is like now basically director of operations of the brew since Ezra is gallivanting around the world every day. And we have Talia, the disgraced former girlfriend of Emily for 5 seconds. And I say disgraced because she's a full-blown adult who's also a dirty cheater. So anyway, that's not going well. That's kind of over. Emily was competing in this pageant thing to try to win Hannah tuition money for school, but then she got expelled not because she's gay, but because she is involved with a bunch of murderers, a pack of murderers, you know? All right, Arya and Smart Andrew have a little kiss moment right after she falls almost fatally in Mike the Menace's room. She's looking at a schedule and she falls off of his like weights thing. The screws have been loosened by A, and we realize in that moment, God, Arya's ankle might be hurt, but Mike could have literally been killed. His skull would have been crushed. And this makes us pretty sure that A couldn't be Mike, because why would that have happened? But Arya's in kind of a sticky sitch with Ezra, so the Smart Andrew thing is probably going to be a big deal. She does go to visit Cyrus with Hannah. They go to the burn unit, and we find out that the person who hurt Cyrus and apparently is orchestrating everything is named Varjak, which is the name of somebody in Breakfast at Tiffany's. Spencer is currently in London, and that's where Melissa and Ren are currently living. But they're not there right now. There's instead some random guy named Colin that Spencer's never met, and they kind of hit it off. It's a little bit flirtatious, gotta say. I don't even think Spencer told Toby she was leaving the States. But then Spencer goes into her interview, and it's like a fucking nightmare because blood seeps out all over her bag. So, yeah, that's all that I have. That's all that I
have. Hormone harmony. Yes, Road Warriors, the rumors are true. Sometimes when I hop on to record the pod, I am a little cranky, and that's thanks to PMS. Obviously, talking with Caroline cheers me up, but sometimes even that's not enough.
Well, Phoebe, it's a lot easier to manage PMS with Hormone Harmony, along with so many other things. And I love that it supports cortisol levels and helps balance my mood swings. Yes, I also sometimes experience those. And obviously, I benefit from the improved sleep quality.
Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens, and they're amazing because they literally help the body adapt to any stressors, which makes sense because Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier because women's stories matter. It has zero sugar, it's gluten-free, dairy-free, non-GMO, and third-party tested.
And Phoebe, did you know a bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds?
Actually, I did know that, and I'm pretty sure I'm the one who told you.
Anyway, for a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code PRETTYLITTLEPODCAST at checkout.
That's happymammoth.com and use the code PRETTYLITTLEPODCAST for 15% off today.
Mochi Health. Phoebe, have you ever had a doctor who just didn't listen to you?
Who hasn't?
Good question. Well, Mochi Health understands that weight loss can be a frustrating and seemingly impossible journey, and they're not just listening, they're taking action.
They're taking a holistic approach to weight loss that includes visits with board-certified doctors, nutrition consultations, and science-backed medications delivered right to your front door.
With Mochi, their dietitians work hand-in-hand with your medication to create personalized nutrition plans that fit your lifestyle.
Mochi Health is making it easier to make sustainable changes and achieve real weight loss results with science-backed, FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, support from real doctors, and guidance from registered dietitians.
And the best part is that it's affordable and accessible regardless of your insurance coverage.
Well, actually, the best part is that Road Warriors can use the code PRETTYLITTLEPODCAST for $40 off.
Oh my God, you are so right. So get started at joinmochi.com and use code PRETTYLITTLEPODCAST for $40 off.
And in case you missed it, that's joinmochi.com and use code PRETTYLITTLEPODCAST for $40 off.
Have.
Tremendous. We start at the jail. Allie's lawyer informs Allie that she and Vivi were talking things over, and they both agree that it is the worst idea, it's the dumbest idea in the history of dumb ideas,
yeah,
for Allie to take the stand, and which is obvious to everyone except Allie.
I don't know how Allie isn't seeing this. Allie literally responds, how is it a bad idea to tell the truth? And it's like, well, Allie, typically people shouldn't try things for the very first time on the stand. Like, typically, we want to try it out a few more times. Yeah.
She's like, Rebecca, I have Cyrus Petrillo. I've been telling you. You have to find him. You have to. He will tell the truth. He's my alibi. And she goes, you told the police that he kidnapped you.
Yeah.
and then said that you lied about that. So the second we bring up Cyrus Petrillo on the stand, the prosecution is going to say, oh, the same Cyrus Petrillo that you said kidnapped you, who didn't actually kidnap you.
The jury is just never, ever going to believe Allison, like ever in a million fucking years. And they shouldn't. Like, I know she is innocent for the crime that she is in there for, but like, Allie, come on, use your head. Do you really think they should believe you after everything?
100%.
So she actually admits to Rebecca that there's somebody else who can testify that she was set up. And it seems like she might throw Mike under the bus here. And she kind of grapples with it because Rebecca's like, okay, so you're telling me he knows exactly where you were and he can completely vouch for you. And Allie's like, oh, is that what an alibi is? Okay, then no. She's like, he doesn't know where he was, so like he can't actually corroborate her story. And then we learn the topic of the episode. The DA is offering this plea bargain, and here's the terms. If Allie pleads guilty to killing Mona and takes responsibility and then also names the person who helped her because they're confident there was an accomplice, they'll give her 15 years and she could potentially get out and 10 for good behavior. And she says, never gonna happen. I mean, what do you do? Like, this is the shit of nightmares, always, like, for real.
It. I mean, truly, I hope I'm never in this position. And I me can too. Promise you I never will be.
Really? But you can promise me that?
You
promise me that you're never gonna be in the wrong place at the wrong time. Or for a criminal who wants to frame you, the exact right place at the exact right time.
Well, this feeling feels so overwhelming. The idea of, like, you're looking at two doors, and one is you saying that you did something that you didn't do and you still have to be in prison for 10 to 15 years.
I know.
The other one is you telling the truth and potentially spending your entire life in prison.
Yeah, it's not really doing a good job of like, we're supposed to be rewarded for honesty. Honesty is the best policy. And then you're going to give me life in prison?
Hey. But that's what Allie's been trying to tell her lawyer. And her lawyer is like, yeah, honesty isn't just the best policy when it suits you.
Her lawyer goes, welcome to the real world, little girl.
Sweetheart.
Little girl. It's a doggy dog world out here, sweetheart.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Take the microphone out of Drama's paws.
Drama, I said no ghost stories in the podcast. He bought his own mic and he keeps hacking in. I want everyone to stop calling me sweetheart. I'm actually a bad boy. Okay. Oh, I am going to bed. Okay, bye, Drama. Jesus. What were you saying about him?
Guys, he is so cute. It is unbelievable.
I know. He definitely does not speak the way I make him speak. He's definitely like a sweet little baby. But I just love this like menace voice.
No, he's not. He's got the menace voice.
Because he's so cute.
The way that he kind of, the way he kind of torments Chuck, he's got the menace voice.
That's actually so true. Drama will be like dead asleep, like laying down. It'll be nighttime. Like we're all winding down. And then Drama sees an opportunity, and that is just Chuck's like just enjoying his life for a second. And Drama just runs, like jolts up, runs full speed at 90-pound Charleston and like jumps in the air and just kicks off of his head and then just like walks away. And Chuck's just like, God damn it. Okay. And like doesn't bite. And Drama's like, I tried. And goes and lays down. It's so funny. Anyway.
So there's another. Did you mention the other term?
Well, I mentioned that she has to name the person, but I didn't mention that they are building a case against their suspect.
And Allie says, and I can't actually believe that the lawyer is allowed to say who this. It is.
I know. Because wouldn't Allie you want to like see what Allie said?
Exactly. Because what if that's not it?
Yeah.
Well, what if?
And newsflash, it isn't.
What if Allie's accomplice has been trying this whole time that Allie's been in jail to frame who it is? Who it is, everybody? Allie asks, well, who is it? And Rebecca says, Hannah Marin.
They're building a case against her.
Allie has one of those guilt moments that she has sometimes.
It's fleeting. It's fleeting, guys. It's real quick. But I just want to say that if I lived in Rosewood during the events of this episode.
Oh my God, I'd be on the edge of my seat.
No, I'd be arrested. I would be Hannah's new cellmate because I would be arrested for protesting. Free Hannah, okay? I'd be arrested for a non-peaceful protest outside the Rosewood Police Department.
I have seen this episode, obviously, a bunch of times, but truly, it's like these little things that when you watch it the first time, they are like, oh my gosh. But then it's like you forget. Because there's so many of them. This was one of those. My jaw dropped. I was taking notes. I wasn't looking at the screen. She said Hannah Marin and I had to pause it. I was like, wait, what?
I don't believe you've ever seen this show. When are you going to just tell the truth you've never seen it?
Imagine.
No one believes you anyway. Everybody thinks it's my favorite show. No one fucking believes you. Anyway.
So we go to Spencer. The flat. You go to the flat.
We go to the flat, and please remember when we're speaking about Spencer Hastings, we've got to talk in a British accent, some sort of British accent. Today, I've chosen Cockney.
Melissa's here, and Spencer is ready to go.
Okay, Melissa's learned something new though, and that's how to smile. Melissa is like Little Miss Toothy Grin this episode.
And she's
like,
stop.
Everyone says London's dreary, but I got a pocket full of sunshine. Like, that's Melissa's Real Housewives of Oxford, like, tagline.
She's like, literally, she's like hearing, she got Reputation and Lover in advance. And she's like,
yep.
You know, Spencer, we just have to find you a London boy. Not Red, but we can find you another
I
one.
I also love a London boy. That's what Melissa
And Spencer's
does.
Like, what? And she's like, you'll get it in a couple years.
You'll get it and you'll freaking love it. Anyway, we are at the flat. And Spencer, as Phoebe said, is ready to go. She's ready to go, dog, go. She's going back today, even though Vivi fully changed Spencer's flight so that she could stay longer. And Spencer said, I don't think so, honey. Gets on that computer, changes it right back.
Like, if I'm the TSA, I'm flagging that.
If I'm TSA, I'm like, there is some unusual behavior because every 15 minutes, this flight is purchased and repurchased, like purchased, return, purchased and rescheduled. Like, if someone's having a war. It looks like it's Veronica and Spencer Hastings.
Oh,
they're on the same
right.
Black Amex card. Okay, we're just gonna let them work it out, I guess.
So, Melissa's like, it's not like you to run away and all this stuff. To which I say, this is Spencer running away, low key. Like, if Coming she were to be in London,
yeah, you're right.
That's her running away.
Yeah, that's
so. This
a good
actually
point.
Is like Spencer to want to get right back into the thick of it. I guess at this point, it's her running away from how embarrassed she was at the Oxford interview,
or like her running away from, like, it's like this was her one chance. I feel like she'd kind of given up hope for this future she had always envisioned for herself with Johnny. She kind of gave up hope, and then she kind of got it back, renewed it a little bit. Gets here, and now I feel like she's like, you know what? What was I thinking? I'm back to giving up hope on this, and I'm running away from, like, this version of who I thought I was going to be, what I thought my life was going to be, like, all that. And we kind of have a sweet little sister moment.
Yes, we do. They're just, like, being sweet to each other, basically. Well, and Melissa's, she's like, being here is what you need. London could be really good for you. I didn't know I could get away from the Rosewood drama and being here. I'm like, okay, well, drama is an understatement. Understatement
massive,
of the century.
Massive. But what Spencer says is, because Melissa's like, why do you need to leave? And Spencer's response is, there's just a lot going on with my friends and Toby.
Not a good enough answer.
And it's like, that would just never have flown. And Melissa's like, okay, well, so? And Spencer's like, Toby and I, like, aren't in a good place. And Melissa fully is like, break up with him. I don't get it. Dump him. What's the big deal?
Literally.
Okay, easy.
She's
dump
like,
him. You're not really talking. That makes it way easier. Just fully stop.
Sometimes they run their course. Relationships do. And Spencer's
relationships
like,
do. Sometimes relationships run their course. They do.
Spencer's like, ever since he became a freaking cop, it's become a lot harder for us to be friends. And I am like,
to be friends.
Toby, like, especially when we get to later in the episode. A has contacted you. If you're so comfortable not talking to Spencer because you want to protect her, you clearly don't care about following her instructions. Why haven't you just brought this to the police?
Yeah.
In spite of what that would mean for your relationship, which is what's keeping everybody else from saying anything, is their relationships with one another.
Yeah. And at this point, though, I did have a moment later on in this episode where they're like, why don't you just tell them about A? Like, I don't understand at this point. Mm-hmm. Truly for me, I'm like, no, what is there to lose though?
But of course, Hannah thinks of the one thing that makes me go, I get it.
She thinks of everybody else.
She goes, because then it takes us back to New York, and then it takes us back to Shauna, and that takes us back to Aria. And it's like, okay, so I'm not seeing the problem.
Literally, like, for me, I'm like, and that's actually more of a push in the direction of the police station. Like, that's more of a push for me to just come clean.
So we go to the high school, and Emily and Aria are talking. Emily is telling this. Emily is rose-colored glasses completely back on when it comes to Allie. Because
Phoebe, okay, it's so funny. I have to just say it is so funny as we continue to watch this show together and discuss it. Our thoughts, like, by the end of this whole show, we're going to be able to be, like, just speaking at the exact same time and saying all the same words as we go through the episode, because we just pick up on all the same things. Like, I literally was like, okay, Emily is 100% like, and Allie and I are back together. Things are amazing. We're looking at rings this weekend. Like, she literally, Hannah's like, I can't talk to Allie. And Emily's like, okay, I guess I can talk to her for you. Yes, I can talk.
Well, it's actually not even what happens. Hannah later says, I'll go see Allie in prison. And Emily goes, you can't do that. I'll go.
And Emily's like, anyway, stop by your house, look through your closet first. No reason.
So Hannah told Emily that Allie told her that she doesn't know of our Jack. And Aria says, and you believe that? Which is so funny, because this is the first clue Aria has ever found in the history of the show, and it needs to matter, in her opinion.
Yes.
So Emily says, yeah, I believe her. Why would she lie? Her life is literally on the line. And Aria says, and so is Mike's.
Oh my God. Okay. Like, it's always got to come back to a Montgomery. I really can't. And we also find out that Cyrus had a setback and he's back in the ICU. So there's, like, no chance they're going to get anything from him. And Aria's like, Mike could go to jail. And Emily's like, and that's better than the ICU. Like, let's just be real here for a second. And then Emily suggests that Ezra helps them. And I love any reminder of, like, you know, he did all that research. like all this, like, you know, I don't want to bring it up, but that book he was writing about. Right. Just like, he's being reminded. She's like, what? Yeah, I forgot about that. Wasn't that big of a deal. So it was easy for me to forget.
So then we go back to London, and Colin is back. He wasn't a one-off. Sorry, everybody.
The creeps.
He's not as cute as I think they thought he was.
He's not cute.
I think when they cast him, they were like this Joe Alwyn type.
When they cast him, they were like, we just need a London boy.
So he comes in and he's like, so Melissa convinced you to stay because Spencer's fully moving in. How big is this flat that Spencer has enough closet space to put her clothes in?
Well, it's very obvious. Oh, so okay. Spencer's sleeping on the couch. So that's Melissa's room that she's putting her clothes in. Okay. I was thinking that they were like, had Spencer in a guest room, and then they just like use the same room from Melissa's room later. And I was like, okay, I see right through this. Hey, you guys, I see through this.
Also, Melissa wasn't there, so Spencer might have been staying in Melissa's room until Melissa got back.
Mm.
But then it's like, wait, that's also Ren's room.
Right.
Yuck.
Yuck anyway, is right.
So they're talking about St. Andrews, which is where Spencer allegedly has an interview coming up. And Colin is like, it's a party over there. That's where Kate found her prints. Maybe you can too. And then he brings up the fact that he has tickets to the theater tonight.
And at first, she's like, I can't. And he's like, oh, it's a shame because Melissa mentioned you like Shakespeare. I honestly almost looked at the script for this scene so that we could just do a read through of it, because it is such a fucking funny scene. You know that scene in 10 Things I Hate About You when what's her fucking name? It's like Mandala or something. And he asks her to the dance and asks her like through a Shakespeare sonnet. And she's like, you knew. And he goes, I know you like Shakespeare. And she goes, I don't just like Shakespeare. We're involved. And that is how Spencer answers this.
That is Spencer Hasey's quote, because she says, I don't just like Shakespeare. I love Shakespeare.
And apparently, and then, yeah, seeing a play at the Royal Shakespeare Company is on her bucket list, to which Colin is shocked. He goes, a bucket list at 18 is crazy. Which I'm like, that's like when you make them.
I also feel like there, and this might be morbid, I feel like in second grade or something, like we were, it was like an assignment. We were like handed a, yeah. like a bucket, like a, you cut out of a page, like a worksheet, and you could color it and you could write like 10 mm-hmm. things you wanted to do before you
I mean,
you
it's
died.
Not like morbid. It's not like these are the, it doesn't have to be, I want to do all these things before my certain death. It's like, I just want to do all these things in my long life. Why can't we like just reframe yes. it like that? Like it doesn't have to be fucking weird. But
that's
Spencer
perfect.
Goes, it's
but
a
Spencer
Hastings
is so
thing.
Funny.
Okay.
I've had one since I was six.
Yeah. Yeah.
Peter and Vivi sit Melissa and Spencer down at the ages of 6 and 8. And they're like
girls,
okay.
It's a Hastings tradition.
They hand them both legal pads.
Yeah,
and
Ticonderoga
pen.
Pencils. Okay.
And they're like, they're like, okay.
They hand, you're right. They hand them ink pens. And they're like, and no
mistakes.
Once it's written down, we don't take it back. So
and
choose
by
wisely.
The way,
Spencer writes like murder someone.
Completing anything less than 50% is considered failure.
It's considered a failure. So keep that in mind. Yeah. Okay. So Hannah is coming down the steps of the Marin Manor and she's.
Oh, by the way, they're going to Hamlet.
Yes, they're going to go. Hannah is eavesdropping on Ashley talking to Vivi in the kitchen. And I love that we finally get a little bit of an answer as to why Hannah's never in school. She has study hall first period.
This was the most real thing I ever heard in this whole show.
Someone said something. Because Vivi's like, oh, is Hannah at school? And Ashley's like, no, she's upstairs getting ready. She has study hall first period. And I was like, okay, that's all you had to say. That is
nothing
literally all you had to say.
Study hall first period. Oh my
gosh. I never had that though.
Oh my gosh, I think I've said this before. I had a first period, my first semester of senior year, and seniors weren't allowed to have study hall in the AO the first period or the last period of the day or something like that. But because I was an officer, I got to have study hall in the AO first period by myself.
Wow.
Oh, it was the best. It was the best.
The AO was pretty awesome. Anyway.
It was.
Vivi tells Ashley about the plea bargain and tells her that the police believe Allison's accomplice was Hannah, and Hannah hears it. But Ashley, of course, slams that. She's like, there's no fucking way, no chance. But we do know now that the police have evidence, apparently, because Tanner, Lieutenant Butterscotch, found Mona's remains in the barrel, confirmed, I guess, they think. Not really confirmed. They're just like,
no, there was just like bone fragments, but they weren't. This is why I'm like, this is all circumstantial. There's bone fragments in the barrel, but they're too small to actually extract any DNA from. So I'm like, okay, so it's not an answer.
Right. Right. That's a good point. But LB saw Hannah outside the unit, so we find all this out. And obviously, they were on the cameras, and they weren't concerned about it for some reason. But Ashley, sure, there's a reasonable explanation that has nothing to do with Allison or Mona. I'm like, well, Ashley, there is, number one, not a reasonable explanation. And number two, it has everything to do with Allison and Mona. And it always will. So let's just like lead with that from now on. But yeah.
So we go to the high school and Hannah is filling Emily in. And Emily is convinced, of course, that Allie will not take the plea because Emily just believes in her.
She says she wouldn't sink that low. Since when? She famously would sink like as low as she needs to. And Hannah says to Emily, like a fucking wake up call, we all know Allie looks out for herself first and I'm an easy target. And I just don't like that Hannah is consistently an easy target because she is consistently like the one who is the most without fault. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like she doesn't do the things to protect herself that fuck other people over, and that's why she ends up being the easy target.
I know, and A loves taking shots at her.
It's like, A, don't you want a challenge? Come on.
Challenge Aria. It wouldn't be that hard.
I mean, I guess they have picked on everyone, but...
Hannah's are always the most...
I feel like Hannah's are the worst. And yeah, to be fair, at this point, like, Aria, you might have killed someone, but you didn't have to pay a single... second in jail behind bars. Like the only thing
frankly,
you've had to pay for
Allie
is like your mental
you
anguish. Yes, absolutely.
And Aria, you loved it. You loved being the victim for those 2 weeks.
You fucking
also,
love
I
it.
Need to talk about the timeline of this episode. We find out so much about the timeline this episode of like, I think ever since the breakup between Ezra and Arya, it's been like the span of a week.
Okay. Yeah, I think you're right.
Which there is, and I think I need to watch Mike's video again, because he talks, there is a season where the whole season only happens within the span of like 3 weeks.
Oh, wow.
And I think we might have already done it. Anyway, that just shocked me because I feel like it feels like this has been happening over the course of like months, but
right.
I guess not. Anyway, so Emily offers to visit. Hannah's like, I'm going to go, and then whatever. Hannah's mom calls her. Hannah declines. Arya comes over. She was on the phone with Jason.
Of course.
And
Arya,
I just really
it.
Wish that we had gotten the conversation before.
I know.
Where they were like, who can we talk to figure out like if Allie's seen anybody?
Well, Phoebe, why
Arya
don't we just
going,
do it right oh, now? Why don't we just oh, well, why don't we just give our listeners the conversation? Because it probably went like this. Do you want to be Arya or the other girls?
And I'll be the other girls because you'll be funnier.
Okay, well now the pressure's on, I guess. Okay.
Yeah.
Hey guys, what are we gonna do? Well, don't forget my family's on the line again. As always. As
well, how are we
always.
Gonna figure out who's in jail talking to Allie?
Brain power. I've got it. I will call one of my contacts.
Who?
Okay, I guess I can tell you, but you can't like be weird about it or tell anyone. Okay, it's Jason De Laurentiis. I knew you were going to be freaking weird about it. Wait, literally nothing's happening. We're just getting like a drink tonight to talk about it. That's it. A drink. I meant like a water or so, like a freaking green juice. You guys are literally making this into something it isn't at all.
It's just he's on my speed dial.
It's just
be
like
the
we have history. We all have history, but more. I have it a little bit more with him. And it's just because of his crush. It's just because of that crush. You guys know about it. You know I hate talking about it because I know I sound so like everybody has a crush on me. But like when everyone does have a crush on you, it's hard not to sound like that. So then Arya went and called anyway. Emily and Hannah anyway. Were just like, okay, so I don't know what she's calling Jason about, but like let's talk about like what we're actually trying to do here.
So she did call Jason and we find out that Ken is with Allie. And she's not taking any other visitors. So that is the ultimate disappointment to Emily because her plan is foiled.
Well, and the ultimate disappointment is also that
she ends up having to do later. Like instead of going to visit Allie in jail, Emily's job becomes breaking and entering.
Well, she didn't have to break, did she? Well, I guess she did end up breaking, but I don't know if she had to. I think she's a little clumsy. I think we've had a little time off the swim team. Anyway, Arya. Okay, so Arya ends up, okay, sorry. Blah, blah, blah.
Wait, this is so funny. Arya's like, we need to call Spencer.
Yeah. No, Emily says we need to call Spencer.
Oh, and then Arya's line is funny because she says, do you seriously want to be the reason she didn't get into St. Andrews?
And it's like, hey, Arya, let's be fucking for real. The reason you don't want to call Spencer is because you don't want her to be included in this. You two are low-key nemesistas. You're low-key frenemies. And you're thinking in this moment, you're like, you know what? If Spencer wants to go to fucking, wants to go see a Shakespeare play tonight with a British man and leave my London fantasy, then she can just go do that and enjoy herself, okay? And I'll take
Gretchen.
Care of business here. Someone has to freaking
oh my
be
God.
Locked in.
Arya is Gretchen.
Yeah, Arya is like a Gretchen. Can't help but be a Gretchen, wants to be a Janice so bad. Cannot
so
help
badly.
But be who she is.
She watches Mean Girls with the five of them and she's like, man, those girls.
She's like,
terrible.
What does it feel like that you guys are the plastics and I'm so Janice? She's like, I can't believe it. Of course, like, I'm the different one.
And Hannah's Katie.
Yes. Or
Hannah's technically, Hannah would say she's Karen. Like,
but
if they
I would be like, hey,
plastics,
Hannah, do not sell yourself short like that.
Exactly.
Is what I would say.
Spencer and Allie are Regina and they're
yes and that's why they
heads.
Yes two halves of the same coin we're on both sides of the coin the industry
oh
loves to spin. We should have had Girl So Confusing remix between Melissa and Spencer there. I'll say it,
there's so many of those relationships that need that song.
I know. I actually was jamming out listening to Girl So Confusing in the car yesterday, and it's funny because the song isn't new. I've heard it hundreds of thousands of times, I feel, at this point. And it just hit like the first time all over. I was like, I just kept getting more and more hype. And then I got to the girl, you walk like a bitch. And I was just like fully fucking sending and windows down.
And you know, were guys, looking. We're so honest. We were skeptical of some of the lyrics. And
but
I
when you do read
is,
them.
I realized what it was, though. It's that we got word that Lorde was going to be on a synth beat for the first time
in a minute.
4 years. 6 years, and we all got excited, and we're used to a very specific kind of writing from mm-hmm. Lorde, but Lorde, the genius that she is, was able to just adopt the brat way of writing, and so it's just such stream of consciousness. It's so real.
It was really, and it was very much like she's the writer for the Brat Show, and if you're gonna do a guest episode, you have to, like, it can't sound different. But I think also, like, one of the things that we were initially making fun of it for is, like, now why we like it so much. Because the lyrics are like, they're really complex, but they're also pretty simple. And it's, like, it just feels, I think when you're just reading it, it just feels like words and, like, just saying shit. And it doesn't feel that artistic.
And
but in
the
context of
the
whole song and everything, it's, like, oh, it just hits. It just hits.
It's amazing. So that's kind of the whole vibe of this television show.
Yes. So Aria, though, she effectively talks Emily out of telling Spencer. And that's when Emily's like, so again, we do need the information that Ezra has. And Aria kind of like pushes it off and opens her locker.
She goes, Emily, I really can't talk about this right now. I have a history test next period. And if I don't do well on it, I might lose my spot at Savannah.
Heck yeah.
I love how we go back and forth between Savannah
and
Scad
and Savannah.
Oh, like, I just love it.
I know.
So funny. And then something unimaginable happens.
Okay, Smart Andrew gave me the ick this episode. Wait, also, I just watched the episode of Nobody Wants This where she gets the ick. And I think we all need to take a moment and watch that episode because every single one of us has been impacted by the ick. Everyone has had the ick at some point. And it does suck and it does feel like you can't get over it, but you can. Okay, you can get over the ick. You're going to have the ick again and again and again. I mean, I don't get it for Anthony.
No, did you see what I texted you?
No.
I texted Caroline this line last
night
that made me laugh so hard.
I also just...
And I truly think this has to be a Pat Regan line.
Don't you just want to get coffee with him and like go through the script and be like, okay, so highlight your lines.
Okay, exactly. Because Morgan sits out at the bar and sees the rabbi's ex-girlfriend.
Which, by the way, every time we say Allie's lawyer's name, Rebecca, I picture Rebecca from Nobody Wants This, and I kind of wish it was her.
Because I didn't know that Allie's lawyer's name was Rebecca until the end of this episode. And she walks up to her after she's decided that she's going to pretend to be someone else and just, like, get her to crack open, which is so funny, and this is so Caroline. I know that Caroline's Kristen Bell, but
the meaner Morgan gets, the more I'm like, and yeah, remember everybody, that's Phoebe.
And who's who?
Where I listen, I'm like, I've been saying that Phoebe's so mean.
And no, but the end when they get in their fight,
even when they're in the store and they're like bickering and the other woman's like, why aren't we recording? And actually that made me feel better because sometimes I'll get really self-conscious like when we fight and you leave it in. And sometimes I get self-conscious about it and I'm like,
it's because we're real.
I know. But that is, then I watched that and I was like, you know what? That is what people like. So whatever.
Yes. But the line is Morgan walks up to Rebecca and goes, hey, is that a book or something? And she's like, are you actually reading it or is it like
the way she says it though, I can't, it's so genuine. She goes, hi, sorry, is that a book? I haven't seen anyone reading a book. And so is it a real or a prop? And she's like dead serious. And the way she says it is so fucking funny.
Because I think it's a Pat line is because it reminds me of the Cat line in her stand-up where she's like,
reading
I
a
developed
book?
A new personality a couple weeks ago.
Yes.
And yes, I am reading a book.
Book? Yeah. No, 100%. I love the way she did it too. And honestly, it was more of a Caroline move than a Phoebe move. Because
I wouldn't have the guts.
If I thought that there was an ex of someone Phoebe was seeing at a bar and like we wanted info, yeah, you better believe I'd be doing something similar to get over there.
Wait, have you gotten to the part where we've
Where we?
Did you finish not that
where
episode?
We. Phoebe just goes. Did you get to the part where
no,
we?
No. No. I was gonna say where we see this happen. Did you finish that episode?
Their fight at the end.
No, it's when we fight with Sasha and the
Esther,
his wife, are having a conversation about whether the rabbi would want to get back together with.
Oh no, I haven't seen that yet.
Oh my god, that's funny. That's funny.
The show's so fucking good. It is so funny. It's amazing. Told mom and dad last night about the line where it's like, "Is your sister there? Does she matter?" And dad's like, "Does she matter?" And he like laughs so hard.
Oh my god, they're gonna watch it now. Dad's gonna be like, "And goo, this show is good."
I know. I was like, "Mom, turn it on right now, you guys." Well, mom goes, "Well, we do need a new show." I was like, "Okay, I'm leaving. You're turning the show on. Let's go." So I'm sure they haven't watched it. Anyway, something falls out of Arya's locker. It's a note from Smart Andrew. It says, "Hope your ankle is better. Break a leg on the test. Dinner tonight." And Emily's like, "Okay, and what is this? Why are She's you like, blushing?"
Okay, I'm reading this. Andrew Spencer is Andrew?
Yeah. She goes, "Yeah, Andrew Campbell. I prefer to call him Andrew Campbell, his government name, not Spencer's Andrew. I think he's shared now. Him. I'd say he's more like a shared Andrew at the space at this point." She says, "It's nothing, it's just studying." And then she admits that they did kiss and she doesn't really know what's going on with Ezra. So Emily's like, "You know what? I'll talk to Z myself."
And Emily has such, Shay Mitchell has such a funny acting thing at the end. It's like,
Phoebe's so Arya funny. It's so different for her.
And then they leave the camera on Shay Mitchell for a second and you see her internally go, "Oh." And like the Sabrina Breyer video where she's like, "Oh."
Yeah. It's very much like, but it is also a little bit like, okay. And then she like, it's just, it's not really a look we've seen from.
Well, it's Emily having this moment of like pairing this moment with the moment that wasn't on screen, but the one that me and Caroline filled you guys all in on about Jason. And it's Emily just being like, she really does live in her own fantasy world.
Yes. Oh, and hey guys, speaking of Shay Mitchell, here's a little Easter egg for any of you who made it halfway through the ep and are actually listening. We're doing a giveaway next week. We're doing a giveaway in 7 days.
Slay.
We're doing a giveaway in 7 days. And it's going to have some really cool stuff in
it. 7 days from today or 7 days from when they're listening?
7 days from when they're listening if you're listening on October 10th. So it's going to start on October 17th, which is a Thursday. And it will end on Halloween.
Ooh,
yes.
Spooky. Freaktastic even.
It's going to be spooktacular and freaktastic.
Freaktastic giveaway.
I would say. And I'll tell you like everything that's going to be in it at another time. But I will tell you that something in it has to do with Miss Shay Mitchell. And that is, yes, we did purchase a base.
A cutout of Shay Mitchell.
And it just and it's base brand. Just kidding, you guys. And no, I will not be sending the 7-foot cardboard cutout of Taylor Swift that I have in my teaching studio. I will not be sending that either. It's Phoebe's, but
stop,
she didn't want to take
asking.
It to Nashville for some reason. So it is in my teaching studio and the kids freaking love it. She's very good for morale.
It belongs there.
But I am like definitely the coolest voice teacher. Like what other voice teacher has like Taylor Swift in there? You know, this girl was doing a character analysis sheet yesterday and she goes, "Okay, how old are you?" I put 34 because that's how old Miss Taylor Allison Swift is. I said, "Works for me."
Okay.
Good enough reasoning for me. Anyway, the entire giveaway is going to be contained in a base mini weekender bag. And then, yes, we did purchase something from the base Wicked collab that will also be in the giveaway.
Well,
but the weekender
is not. Buying that for you.
No.
You didn't buy anything Wicked for you?
Okay, well, here's what happened. I did, but nobody freaking answered me in the chat. So this is what happened.
Sorry, I was asleep. And then I was just a lot of
I'm texting in the chat like, "Guys, help me because the Wicked stuff went on sale today." The problem is what I really wanted from the Wicked collection was the green suitcases. And I'm not in need of a new suitcase. And I'm not going to buy $500 suitcase. I just can't do that. But
and the third most important reason is
I'm not an Elphaba. The green suitcases are just so, I wish that the pink ones had like a green shine on them. You know how the green has like that really cool like pink shine on it. Like I love that. And I was like, that's kind of why I wanted that. And then they have the Wicked like weekender totes and whatever, but they're all a little bit different. And just none of them are like really speaking to me. But guys, I have the mini weekender in pink and I love it. I use it all the time. And it's like a really good size. I think any bigger, it would be too big. And they didn't have the mini in the Wicked collection. So I got the black mini Weekender for the giveaway. And then I was like, okay, because it also was like way cheaper. So I was like, then I can get like the toiletry thing also. So then I ordered the pink and the green toiletry case so that I will keep whichever one we don't want to put in the giveaway. So I ordered pink and green because I actually do need a new toiletry thing. And I know that I'm more of a Glinda, but we can just see which one we prefer to put. Or you guys can let us know what you think. But yeah. I did order the pink
or
and
whoever
the green.
Whoever wins well, could tell us if they're a Glinda or an Alphaba.
Oh, that's true. We could try that maybe. Anywho, but yeah, so I did end up, I got myself something just because I was like, well, I don't know. They didn't answer which color, so I'll just get both and keep the other one. But I'm really excited.
So we go to Caleb's apartment and Hannah's filling Caleb in and he's trying to calm her down, which I admire. But I am like, Caleb, this is a dire situation. He's like, they would have already arrested you if like they had enough evidence to prove that you really had anything to do with it. And he wants to talk to Toby and figure out what evidence they have. And I'm like, good freaking luck. Good freaking luck, Caleb. That's never going to happen. And guess what? It doesn't. But we do find something out from Toby that isn't even really all that helpful. Then we hear a knock at the door and it's Ashley. And she says, you need to come home.
That actually, is there anything like scarier?
No, because also, it's now, especially for Hannah, because now Hannah's trapped and like,
yeah,
the only way out to get her mom to understand what's happening is to tell the truth. But it's like when you get in trouble and like someone else could help you get out of trouble, but you're actively in trouble. So you can't text anybody and be like, she also like clearly wants to text the girls and be like, hey, like, this is what's happening. Mm-hmm. I need to come clean.
Right.
Hannah has to make that decision by herself. And I'm glad she does because, you know, the girls would have been like, Hannah, can you just like wait it out?
I know.
Just like wait it out a little bit.
Evil
Which
girls.
Is what they say.
Exactly. So we go back to Ezra and Ezra tells Emily that he never came across any Varjak in all of his research. So he doesn't know who that is. And Allie. I don't know what that means. But Emily's like, okay, well, I need you to go back and take a look. Like, there literally has to be something. And she's so desperate. And it's just heartwarming because you realize that desperation is because she needs to help Hannah. It's really about Hannah at this point. And she's like, okay, well, do you remember Mona's lawyer's name? Like, I bet her lawyer was in on it. Mona's working with A. Let's find the lawyer. Try to talk to them. That's our new, like, task. Let's try that.
And wait, did you cover the part about, sorry, I was looking at a message. Did you explain the setup of the lawyer and stuff? Like how we think the lawyer
I just said that
setup.
Oh, no, because that's what I wrote down. Allie says everything the lawyer gave them was a setup, but I don't really know what that means.
So
can you explain?
Ezra, and I didn't either until later when it became clear what they were saying. Ezra remembers that
Mona's lawyer gave them.
Yeah, one of the things that it wasn't clear in the beginning. Hannah found the passport that said Varjak on it. So Ezra's like, does that have something to do with it? And Emily says, no, Allie said everything there was planted. And I'm like, do we even believe that? That's crazy.
Right.
And then Emily's like, we think that everything in that envelope that Hannah was given was a setup to get us to find the things that A or whoever wanted us to
find.
Fucking
evil.
So that's why now we need to look for Neelan, who was
Mona's lawyer.
Allegedly Mona's lawyer.
Melissa's helping Spencer find something to wear to Hamlet. And she's like, teehee, isn't this what sisters are supposed to do? Like, share clothes and makeup tips. And Phoebe and I, pretty much that's all sisterhood's been for us.
Yeah.
And the occasional freaking cat fight.
Cat fight.
The occasional.
Never physical.
Never physical, you guys.
And I do feel like that's like a badge of honor that we can have because people
do message
us.
And I feel like, hey, mom, remember that. Because
people will message us and be like,
I
have scars from
mom
my sisters.
Mom has scars. Mom has told us that she and her sisters would physically fight. I think it is very normal for sisters to physically fight. I know it's normal for brothers, but like for sisters to pull hair and like throw each other down the steps and shit. Like it sounds like that's normal.
And we
never laid a hand on each other.
But we would scream at each other.
Yeah, well, you might, but I don't really like to raise my voice, mostly for vocal health reasons. But yeah, Phoebe and Lily did a lot of yelling.
Caroline didn't have to raise her voice to spit venom.
It's sort of more what Allie does, where she talks like this, and it really gets the point across.
Which is also how our mom yells.
Yeah,
our mom will like the scariest thing. Well, mom will
yell at the top of her actual lungs, and then she'll be like, "Be quiet! The whole neighborhood can hear you." And I'm like, "Yeah, the whole neighborhood can definitely hear one of us." And then she gets in that really quiet, and it's like, "Oh, I hate it."
And she gets this really quiet voice where she like grits her teeth so that she has like an underbite.
Sounds like that. Anyway, so the sisters are just having a little sisterly moment, and Melissa feels a lot of guilt over the lack of these sisterly moments that they had, and she says it was her fault because she held on to her secret for so long, and she says she was protecting Spencer, and then she was protecting herself.
Of a feeling that is.
No, it does kind of break my heart,
Melissa,
honestly.
To like watch their sisterhood fall apart because she knows that she did this, like, she feels uncomfortable in that relationship because of what she did to protect Spencer, but it's not like,
well, I'm sure some resentment too, you know, at some point.
And it adds a different layer to that relationship that we don't often get to see.
We need to see it because we need to humanize Melissa a little bit. Also, one thing that I thought was weird, there's like the letter A just like in the apartment. Is somebody's name A that I miss? Is Spencer spelled with an A? There's just like an A.
We're not in Spencer's apartment.
I know.
Oh, no. We see it later. It's the painting.
No.
That says St. Andrews.
No, it wasn't. It's like a trinket. It's like a gold, like, A. Like,
I wonder. No, it's
Kingston. On a dresser.
Maybe Colin's last name is A. Starts with an A.
Maybe, but it seems like we shouldn't be letting him make, like, interior design choices, Mel. Just saying. Anyway, Melissa has this great line. She says, doing something wrong can seem like the right thing when you're trying to help someone you love, and they are gonna just start over. No more lies.
So we go to the lawyer's office, Elon's office, and Ezra's there, and he's freaking lying through his teeth.
Do you want to know something?
That he wants to franchise. What?
Every time they say Neilan, I kept thinking they were saying Neil Lane. Imagine if Neil Lane crossover app between The Bachelor and Pretty Little Liars. Neil Lane is showing up and Ezra's going to win Aria back.
That's a date on The Bachelor, is that they get to be extras on Pretty Little Liars.
Aria actually is on The Bachelor. This is a date. It's just one big like murder mystery.
Oh my God. So Ezra cuts it. He cuts his little ruse and he says, tell me about Mona Vanderwall. That's what I want to talk about. And the guy's like, what are you talking about? And Ezra says, you're not an estate lawyer, so why would she hire you to give this envelope to this girl?
Yeah, why would she hire you to deliver a package in the event of her death?
And the guy gets super defensive.
He's
not
smart.
He has his own Lisa Vanderpump moment.
You can choke yourself out, darling.
That's literally what happens, because Ezra says, you can tell me now or you can tell the police, basically, is what he says. And I'm like, Ezra, I don't know that getting the police involved at this point is going to be as helpful as you think it will.
Yeah.
And the guy gets up. He says, show yourself out, darling.
Exactly.
And then Ezra comes outside, but we pan after that to Emily and Aria outside of the lawyer office. Aria's just arrived. And it's about to get weird.
Aria's like petrified to see Ezra, because she hasn't seen him. Also, his hair, I know you hate. This is like that time when he started growing it out and like everyone was like, it's cool to have long hair now. And it's like, it's not cool for everyone.
I actually didn't mind it. I didn't mind it in most of the episode, except when he's sitting on the bench and we get a certain angle of how it looks in this part of his part.
I feel like they filmed that scene last in this episode and his hair was the longest and they just like had to comb with them and there was just like more hair, you know, and they were okay, continuity, we can't cut it yet, but whatever. But they're acting super weird, Ezra and Aria. Ezra tells them he got nothing, pointless. But then we see James Neilan, not to be confused with Neil Lane, running out of the law firm into his car, Mercedes, by the way. And then Aria runs as fast as she can to her car, says nothing to anyone else. And Emily and Ezra are just like standing there. And she's like, well, hello, are you coming? It's like, well, you didn't like signal, you just ran for it. And you're kind of weird and skittish. So that's like not that unbelievable for you to do. But okay.
So we go to the jail and Allie's walking back to her cell. And we hear this thing over the intercom say, Everybody back to your cells. Prepare for inspection. And Allie walks into her cell and it's been completely freaking ransacked.
Allie gets back to her cell and it looks like my freshman year dorm when I got the message saying that I didn't pass inspection for cleanliness because I was on crutches and hopping around on one foot. And yes, I told that story on Tuesday's episode. So if you didn't listen, now you know what you have to do next. But
wait, okay, so did you see the DM or the comment that was like, you guys should tell more people's, more of other people's stories?
Well, yeah, but what other people's stories did we tell?
Well, you told Chloe's entire life story on that episode.
Oh my God, I didn't tell her whole life story. I just talked about college.
You told her whole freshman year story.
Yeah.
It's not a bad thing. I just think it's funny that they were like, you guys should do more call-ins. Let's get some other people's content. We're kind of like,
y'all's stories are getting a little old. Well, we probably do tell the same stories over and over. I don't even remember what we
said. And you guys are just so nice.
But every time we embellish them a little more. So it's like, yes. Are they really the same? Anyway, Allie's walking through the jail and she is not going to pass inspection because, as Phoebe said, there's been an obvious disturbance. Someone has seemed to like search it. So she starts putting it back together and her mattress is like pushed up on the wall. So it's covering part of the wall. And as she pulls the mattress back down onto the bed frame, we see that written on the wall, it says, take the plea. And I just want to say, where are the art supplies? Where are the fucking art supplies in the jail? And what is Allie going to say when they do come to this room? Is she going to like tape herself to the wall over? Like, how is she going to cover this up?
She's going to be like, oh, that. I'm just weighing my options. I was gonna make a pro and con list. Maybe on the other side of the wall.
Yeah.
On the other wall, I'm gonna write, don't take the plea. And I'm gonna and write on my options.
Whichever side the cockroaches in the jail sleep on tonight, that's what I'm gonna do. Like, that's my plan. They're gonna be like, not surprised, actually, because there's an amazing art program here and she's just taking advantage.
Right. So we go to the Marin Manor and Ashley's like, okay. Hannah thinks she's going to get to just like go up to her
Hannah
room.
Walks in. She's like, okay, I'm taking a shower. Ashley's like, you don't get running water, murderer.
And she's like, Hannah, you need to like clue me in on what's going on. What is going on? And she goes, Mom, once you know it, you can't unknow it. And but it's like, Hannah is just protecting. She said later, she says, I didn't want to drag you into my mess.
I know. And it's sad because it's just like she's suffering on her own. And it really does feel like she's on her own. Like these other girls lean on each other. But it's like she must feel so alone being the only one who doesn't make selfish choices. You know what I mean? Like,
yes, yes.
100%. Because everybody else
because she's
does.
Essentially living an entirely different life than they all are.
Yes. So Ashley ends up forcing Hannah to tell her. And Hannah says that she did go to the unit to move everything out because she thought Mona's clothes would be there and maybe her body. And Ashley's like, okay, doesn't sound great. Gotta admit, Hannah, it's kind of not what I wanted to hear you say. And she's like, well, listen, I had nothing to do with it. But somebody put my name on the storage unit and rented it the day before the murder. And somebody is
this
framing
is where
Allie. And the same person is now trying to frame me.
This is where I have a question for Ashley, because Ashley's like, Hannah, whoever would do that?
Ashley's like, why did you say that?
It's like, I know you guys thought, I know that like A is technically in all these parents' heads dead, but like, wouldn't you think maybe Mona got roped into something that could still be?
Yeah.
Happening?
Oh, well, that's so funny. Cause what I thought you were about to say was like, you're just going to believe that, Ashley. She told you she had nothing to do with it, but somebody put her name on the storage unit conveniently the day before Mona was murdered, and now she's being framed with her friend. And you're like, that makes sense. Our mom would never.
Exactly.
Our mom would be like, oh, really? Yeah, we'll figure this out behind bars.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll
actually,
be figuring this out
on
with
way.
Your detention officer. Yeah. Anyway, Spencer.
So then we go to the pub in London, and I'm like, okay, Colin, this is where you clue in to what
to
she's
age.
Saying here, because she walks back to the table and she says, oh my God, this is the first time I've ever ordered beer.
She walks back. We see a 35-year-old woman say, holy shit, I just ordered beer for the first time. It's so funny, but it is kind of refreshing this episode to get like a few moments. And we do get a few where we
it
realize
made me
these
kind
are
of sad.
These are kids. Yeah.
It made me, but like watching Spencer, like enjoy her conversation with Colin, even though I don't like Colin, but to see her sitting halfway across the world with all these people mm-hmm. who their biggest worry is like, how am I going to get to work on time tomorrow?
Yeah.
It's like she finally is able to like I don't know. I can just see her take a bit of a breath in this episode.
The things that Spencer should be able to do and worry about are, how am I going to buy beer legally this weekend? You know what I mean? Like,
exactly.
Those are normal, in quotes, high school things to think about, where it's like, oh, my friends and I are going to try to get some beers this weekend, and how are we going to get them? Like, that's,
yeah.
Those are the things you should, those are the run-ins with the law that we should be concerned about. Not so much like, do I murder. Need to clean up a crime scene today? My best right. friend was killed. Like, you know, I don't know. But they do a little cheers, and she says, to Hamlet, and he says, to revenge. And I just want to say, I haven't had a good feeling about Colin. And when he said that, I still didn't, because I was like, well, what do you need revenge for? Are you getting revenge? Did
we find out that because he's like, so did you love it? Was it everything you dreamed of? And Spencer is doing what our mom does.
She does
after a show that she didn't like.
Well, you know who taught mom this trick? Caroline. That when you don't think a show was good, you find other things to compliment. Oh my God, I loved the sets. Were really impressive. The lighting was honestly awesome. Wait, no, it was so fun. That's another one. It was so fun. Is a good thing to say when you didn't like it.
We find out.
Not mom texting us today. What are poppers?
Well, we talked about that in the episode.
No, I know we did. By the way, your silence was deafening.
I'm like, mom, where have you been?
Mom, what do you mean, what are poppers? This is embarrassing.
Google it.
Come on. Go to Urban Dictionary and search poppers, and then I don't talk about it again. And then don't. Sorry. And then whatever you found, I don't know if that's what they are. She
so
didn't like
Colin's
it.
Colin's like, okay, so you hated it. And she's like, I wanted to love it. And we find out, she goes, I just don't think that Hamlet should have productions that are set in modern day.
She literally goes, I'm just such a purist, seeing it set in present day London. Just, oh my God, shut the fuck up. It's called making it new again. It's called, why are we telling this story today? Okay.
And then she says, it was bad enough that they had Hamlet in a jean and t-shirts and jeans and a t-shirt. Yeah. But did they have to give him a cell phone?
It's so
did he have to send a text?
Funny. It's so, I mean, Spencer would honestly have the same opinions we have about all television these days. Come on.
Yes.
Come
She'd
on.
Be like, don't talk about COVID.
Yeah, exactly. Don't like make this real. And then Colin, little jokester, says that his brother is actually the director, and Spencer feels bad for 1 second before finding out he's joking. But Colin also thought it sucked. He said he's just way more polite. And that is true.
That is true. And then we, like, I don't really feel like we need to get into it, but they basically make an allegory for Hamlet
and
trying
Spencer.
To return to London to Spencer.
Start over and leave the darkness behind and make a new life. Do you think it's possible?
And then they play darts.
Yeah. So Hannah does tell her mom everything. I think we kind of talked about that. Ashley's like, I wish I would have known. It's my job to protect you. And Hannah says she doesn't know who's doing this. That's that. Back with Colin and Spencer. So we find out that Melissa told Colin a lot about Spencer, how competitive she is, that she loves literature and the arts. And these two are getting a little close. They're getting real close. Spencer's not backing off. Like, she takes a step in, and then like he takes a step in, and she does not back up. I'm honestly shocked the kiss doesn't happen here in the bar. But I do think this is kind of funny, and I would immediately melt into a hole in the floor if I were Spencer, because she goes, okay, do you actually already have those Hamlet tickets? Did somebody actually drop out, or did you buy them this morning?
You want to go on
a date with me this
courage.
Freaking bad?
She's been working up the courage.
She just bought her first legal beer, and she is feeling it. She's
yes,
feeling a little confident.
He literally is like, oh, no, I had the ticket.
He's like, but...
But he tries to
recover. I'll go
along
with this because it looks like this might be going somewhere. If I didn't, I might have bought them if I knew you liked it. It's like, okay,
so
don't worry, Colin. That was not smooth, but it is going to work.
An absolute high-speed chase.
Yeah, and it's like when you're doing an absolute high-speed chase in the middle of the woods and there are only two cars, it's like... Is it covert? Are we undercover? Is this the smartest way we could be doing this? And also question, is Aria driving Siobhan's twin? Because I think it's a Nissan Sentra.
And she always has been. This Chevy. Is famously the car that Byron and Meredith were making out in.
Oh my God. Siobhan. Okay, we'll be talking
Her
about
cousin's
that.
A slut.
Siobhan, tell me about what your cousins have been doing. Okay, anyway. they're following the lawyer to a house in the woods, of course.
Which is, by the way, when we get up to it, just Noel Kahn's cabin with a couple extra trees.
Yes.
Us, every episode, we essentially just completely roast an ABC Family production for not having the budget to make a new set every yeah. episode.
Well, pretty much. Because it's almost like you didn't have to invent this storyline if we didn't have the money for the set. You know what I'm saying? Like, there was enough there to run with, I'm sure. On the cutting room floor, definitely. We could have found something. So
it's a gated house. And as they watch the Mercedes get into the gated house, we get inside the car and we realize that for some reason, Emily's in the back seat.
Emily
and
should
Ezra
be...
And Ezra gets to sit in the front. In the and front I seat. I feel like this happened... I feel like Arya was like, Emily like went to go get in the front seat to be a good friend so that Ezra and Arya didn't have to sit next to each other. Arya, again, in case you forgot, is on an episode of The Bachelor. And she was like, wait, Ezra gets motion sickness. Can he sit in the front?
And Ezra's like, you remembered. And she's like, yeah, don't read into it, okay? Old habits die hard. It doesn't mean anything. Even. So she
and
gets
so
a text.
Arya gets a text.
This is where I really got the ick. I'm sorry, because this is a text I used to get from boys in high school. Like, I mean, everyone did.
Arya has her phone open to her conversation with Andrew in the middle console of the car.
She wanted him to see it, but it is the first text he's ever sent her. So
it always is, though. I think she has that feature, a text delete.
Of course. Well, Andrew texts her,
which is perfect.
Congrats
for
later. Imagine. Killing the test. Beautiful. The beautiful was ew. Unnecessary.
And Ezra says, who's Andrew? And I'm like, probably one of your students, bitch.
Yeah, you know, smart Andrew. Oh, Andrew Campbell, how is he? Like, that's what could have happened there.
But I do like the idea that Arya has that feature on her phone that deletes her messages, because later on, what if she was the only viable person to have messages from A left on her phone? And she goes, oh.
Classic.
No, sorry, guys. I get my messages
She's
deleted.
Like, I'm really private. I'm just pretty private.
I like to live in the moment and not really think about things after the past.
I don't want to dwell on anything. I don't want to dwell on the past. I can't remember who said that. What poet? I believe it was. Hannah's like, it was Edna Mode from The Incredibles. Anyway. So Emily's like, look, we got to get out and I don't want to be here anyway. So she runs after Neil Lane and she does make it in past the fence. And of course, Arya and Ezra do not, because they spend their time reading and not running. So they were unfortunately not fast enough. And Emily, I'm like, you guys for sure, like Ezra could have helped Arya climb this fence 1000%, because it wasn't like there was like, exactly. It wasn't all vertical. You know what I mean? There were plenty of swirls.
I have the funniest theory later that we'll get into. But anyway, there's a camera and
they don't see it though. So I'm still like, they could have climbed it, but whatever.
And Allie's ironing. And then these inmates start like looking at her like she
well, probably because
lunch.
They're like, hey, bitch, we don't iron here. I'm so sorry. You mean you're telling me we're using labor, hours of labor on ironing the prison jumpsuits? I don't believe that.
I'm also like, you're giving a prisoner a hot iron.
That's what I was thinking, too. That's what
Al,
I
you
was
had
thinking
a hot
too.
Iron functioning
and then that's
in your
what
hand
I was
when you get into this
too.
Fight.
Oh, Phoebe, yes. That's what I was thinking, too. And what do you mean?
I guess we didn't see the other guy.
Well, yeah.
Allie,
and
doesn't
about
say
that.
In the episode.
And about
you
that.
And you should have seen the other guy.
I would have freaking loved to, okay? So then we see, like, somebody's in the laundry basket. Our Allie runs to the door to get out. She can't. It's locked. She looks back, screams a blood-curdling scream, and that's it. That's always
and we
that.
Never really get any details. We go back to the cabin and Neelan is going into Noel Kahn's cabin, which isn't Noel Kahn's cabin. And Arya and Ezra are walking the perimeter. And I think they've only made it a couple feet into the woods, actually, from where the car is. They're walking the perimeter trying to find a break in the fence. And Arya tells Ezra about Andrew and how they're studying together and about SCAD. And he's like, yeah, it's been a long week. I thought you would have told me already.
A week.
We've
there
been
you go.
We've been SCAD for months.
I feel that way too. And then Arya's
so
like,
then
you know what?
Back to the jail.
I've learned a lot in all my years of doing this sleuthing shit.
Oh yes.
We should split up to cover more ground. Okay. This time it ended okay, but like historically, that's been the worst idea. So.
And anyway. I'll tell you why I think it ended okay when we get there.
Okay.
We go back to the jail, and Allie calls her lawyer, and she's like gushing blood.
Oh my god, she's been through. She actually looks like she was maced. Her eyes are like that bright red, like after you get pepper sprayed. Her arms are covered in gashes. Her hair is all messed. Like, she looks like a fucking mess.
And she says, if I take the plea, can you get the DA to promise I'll be moved somewhere safer?
Ugh.
So then we go to London.
Colin and Spencer get in. It was pouring rain because, hello, it's London. And he wants to make her a hot toddy before bed. But she's going to head to bed, which is smart thinking because doesn't she have her interview the next day?
Yeah.
And so he says, like, thank you. And they have this little moment. And he says he wishes she wasn't leaving because, quote, London won't be the same without you. And it's like she's been here for maybe 48 hours. I think it'll feel pretty much the same. And then they have a very romantic kiss. So,
and then we go to the jail again, and guess who showed up? Not Rebecca.
Vivi Hastings. What a sight for sore eyes. Just who I wanted to see. Kind of over Rebecca. Kind of feel like Rebecca doesn't really get it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And Allison
Vivi
does, is all,
because Vivi says, hey girl, you can't take this plea.
She's like, what the fuck are you thinking taking this deal? Like, you wanted to tell the truth yesterday. And Allie says that things change. And Vivi says what we've all been saying, and we've all been saying this. The plea is not the answer. If you go to trial, you are going to lose. So, like, either way,
Veronica,
you're fucked.
Is watching Allie sit at this table, and Allie's essentially like this.
Yes. She's like, check this out. And Vivi's like, I'm not biting.
Ouch.
I'm not asking. Ouch. Yeah, Ari. Allie's like, huh. And, like, puts her elbow down. Like, does a sign. She's like, oh, I forgot I have a blister that just popped. Do you have a paper towel? I got blister juice all over here. Don't ask what the blisters are from. I don't know. My black eye. I don't know. We're doing this. It's a trend now. Lord posted hers. Did we ever find out what happened there? Like, is she okay?
No, I haven't heard a word.
I'm assuming she's fine if she posted those like that.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. So we go back to the cabin, and Emily is working.
No, Emily is busy this up.
She's like, Spencer's out here. Someone's got to be the little, like, scavenger.
Yeah.
So she finds a pizza box with a receipt that says Varjack with a phone number on it. And she takes it. When she hears something, she runs away. We go to the Marin Manor, and Caleb does a fucking cop knock on this door.
I guess so. I didn't really notice the cop knock because he looks so handsome. But then he comes in, and he has just gotten off the phone with Toby, who's completely absent from this episode. But okay. He did not get any information from Toby. Shocker. Toby's not helpful about the evidence they have against Hannah. But what Toby did tell Caleb is that a judge just issued a warrant for Hannah's arrest. And so that to Hannah means that Allie took the plea because that was like conditional. She could take the plea if she also named her accomplice. So Hannah's like, all right, guess I'm on the Eddie Lamb. Let's go. I'm out of here. And Caleb's like, okay, no. You cannot run. I think we tell Lieutenant Butterscotch about A. I think that's your way out. And of course, Hannah's like, A is going to retaliate. And this is where she says, I can't make this decision on my own. I have to discuss it with the girls. It affects them just as much as it affects me. To which I say, not just as much. You're about to go to jail, Hannah.
Exactly.
Prison.
For a long time.
Are not. They are not. It is not the same. And she just, like, will not screw over her friends. And I know that, like, that's one of the reasons we love her. But God, in this moment, I just want to be like, just fuck them. Who cares? Fuck them. You've all fucked each other over inadvertently. Like, just say you didn't mean to. just say you're dumb.
Yes.
I know you kind of ruined that by being smart, but just say you're dumb. Say you had a dumb blonde moment. They'll believe you.
And it will be music to their ears.
They would actually welcome it. Believe me.
We go back to the cabin, and Emily's watching Neilan inside the cabin from the window, and he's getting cash, a gun, and a little package from a safe in there. And then fucking idiot Emily makes noise. And then the noise that she made scares her. And she jumps back and knocks a bunch of stuff over.
Like, if ever there was an example of clatter, this is clatter.
I was just gonna say, guys, when you read the story the night before Christmas, and you hear
the night before Christmas,
such a clatter. This is that sound.
That's the sound. And then you can go back to season 5, episode 22, to plea or not to plea, and listen to this. And then that's a sound effect. And we'll give you the sound effects for the rest of the book too, just later. But anyway, he looks up, doesn't find her. Thank God. Here's what I don't understand. Emily sits directly underneath the window, and I just want to say, like, that seems like he would 100% see her. You know, like, why don't you just run around the corner of the house?
Luckily, I think we have found the dumbest lawyer in Pennsylvania.
That's true. And it's like, Mona, come on, you should, but maybe he wasn't. Yeah, you're right. Okay. Anyway, Hannah and Caleb are outside the police station. She has decided that, yes, she is going to tell Lieutenant Butterscotch. He's kind of like hyping her up. He's like, listen, she's going to believe you. You have all those texts from me on your phone. And
he says that out loud.
I also am like,
Caleb.
Yeah, don't put it out there. The FBI agent in your phone is listening. Before we all had FBI agents assigned to our phones, we had A. Okay. Yes. And A was in there and A was busy. And I just want to say, like, we didn't think to screenshot. We didn't think to print these out. What about the messages that have been sent that were not texts? Like, come on. If I'm doing this, you better believe.
I wrote it down later. I was like, how does Spencer not have a hard drive backup of every A message that was ever sent to her that's unplugged from her computer?
Well, unfortunately, Arya's forbidden all the girls from calling Spencer because she doesn't want to include Spencer this time. So they would never know that. Watch, there probably is one that Spencer's like, in case of emergencies, if I'm ever in, I don't know, London and you can't get a hold of me, you guys can use this.
Imagine,
and
Arya just didn't Arya tell knows them. About it.
Yeah, and Arya doesn't tell them because she's, or she's like waiting. Arya's like, I'm waiting for the perfect moment because I'm going to be like, guys, I found this. And then she'll get all the glory. That's what's
when
happening.
When Spencer gets back, she's going to be like, wait, Arya, why didn't you? Give
yeah.
I have this hard drive.
Emily's like, wait, what?
Spence, you never told me that. Spencer, you literally never told me
Arya's
that.
Arya's like, okay. Sorry, but don't you think I have kind of a lot going on right now? Can you guys cut me some slack? First of all, I'm at risk of not going to Savannah. Emily's like, what is Savannah? Scad!
She's like, and in case you forgot, I have the skin of a killer.
I'm in a little bit of a love triangle. Yeah, Spencer, don't get mad, but it is with Smart Andrew, who isn't yours, by the way. You don't own him, by the way.
And your stepbrother and your English teacher.
Yeah, and then Jason like keeps calling me back. Anyway, so Hannah goes into the station. She's talking to the cop at the front desk. He's like, you think you can just walk in here and talk to Lieutenant Butterscotch? And she's like, well, I'm Hannah Marin. And then he's like, oh, 1 minute. And he's like, okay, I'm getting a raise today. Totally brought in a convict.
He's going to do what Arya would do with the hard drive. And he'll say, I just like found her walking around the street.
I just found her and I said, hey, you. Exactly. But someone from a remote location, shocker, is wiping Hannah's phone and all of her messages are deleted.
Hey, Caleb, how did you not think of
that? Again, I'm like, we're not all using our brains. And maybe this is why Spencer shouldn't be leaving, but like, come on. And so then, of course, right as they're all deleted, we find out that Lieutenant Butterscotch will see Hannah, but not Caleb. So she doesn't even have someone to corroborate her story.
Exactly. Which feels like an oversight.
I agree.
So we go back to the cabin, and this is my theory.
Okay.
I think Arya got tired and didn't want to keep walking around here.
I thought the exact
with Ezra.
Same thing.
So because Arya's standing by the car, and Ezra comes jogging over to her completely out of breath and goes, I just circled the entire property. There is no way to get in there. And Arya's like, oh, yeah, I didn't find anything.
And Arya's
either.
Like, well, okay then. If you say so, I'll take your word for it. Okay.
Arya definitely walked right back to the car and just stood there waiting for Ezra to
She's
come
She's like,
back.
I have to go figure out what I'm going to say to Andrew. To figure out what I'm going to say to Smart Andrew's text.
And I have to, I'm doing that right after I call Jason back.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm calling Jason back because he called me back and I missed it. It's always going to be that he called her back.
We just like keep playing
we
phone tag.
We keep missing
tag.
Each other playing phone tag. It's actually kind of cute. It's kind of cute. So Arya
like
calls Emily.
It's like his way of flirting with me.
Also, Arya, like, we're just making all these rookie mistakes. And it's, like, kind of hard to excuse at this point because Emily is now hiding, like, in the literal bushes as the lawyer's locking up the cabin. And Arya's like,
really
let me just
me off
call
right
Emily. I'm like, okay, well, at least for once her ringer wasn't on, but it was on vibrate. And that was enough for Neil Lane to hear it. And he, like, straight up is pointing a pistol at the area that Emily is standing. And Arya's just like, la, 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 I can't believe she's not answering me. These girls are not my real friends.
And then Emily does finally get back. And she goes, Em.
Hello, I called.
Why didn't you pick up your phone?
Yeah. I was like, I was a little
Emily's like,
busy.
Emily's out of breath, has dirt on her face and twigs in her hair. And it's like, sorry, I was busy.
Sorry, Arya. You're right. But she tells Ezra and Arya that it's confirmed Varjak's house. Neil Lane must be working for him, and she found this receipt that also has the phone number. And at that point,
a bit of a jump to say that this is confirmed Varjak's house, Emily.
You're right. That is a bit of a jump. But that is what Emily tells her. And then at that moment, Arya gets a text that Hannah's been arrested. And then we get low-key this iconic montage of Hannah being booked, fingerprinted, mugshots. She's eating, you guys. And Caleb, so the other girls, not Spencer, of course. Oh, wait. Sorry, we do get like a 5-second cut to Spencer in London, jolting awake as if she had night terrors like me. And she finds out that Hannah's arrested. What do you mean arrested? And then it goes away. She's going to be on a plane for 12 hours. But we'll see her in a bit.
And Arya finally gave everybody permission to call Spencer.
Yes.
She's like, okay, fine.
Yes, fine. Yes. So Caleb's like, okay, Arya, Emily, you guys need to show the cops everything on your phones.
And Emily, don't piss me off.
It's like, okay, this now, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, Caleb. Like, what?
As soon as the girls got there, you needed Lieutenant Tanner in that lobby.
Before the girls got there, you should have called them. Star 67, call them and say, print out every single text on your phone and come to the station now. And I don't care if it delays you a little bit getting here. It's more important because the second you get here, A is going to know what you're here to do. Yeah, like that
exactly.
is what happens. And then, of course, they all get a text that says, let's all start with a clean slate. And all
okay,
their texts
take a picture of it, Caleb, on your phone. Take a picture of it.
That's what I'm saying. Like, we're just not thinking fast enough. Come on.
Come on. And so then we...
Vivi is catching Ashley up.
Jack's phone number.
Mm-hmm. Vivi's catching Ashley up on everything. She's like, listen, Hannah's not going to get out on bail, which is crazy. And we find out Allie has actually not taken the plea yet. So that is not why Hannah is here. Lieutenant Butterscotch found the clothes Mona was wearing the day she died and fucking Hannah's blood was on them, which is just like, I know the explanation, you guys. I know, but how are they going to get? I mean, how do you like explain this away?
I am a little bit like, Mona and Hannah were best friends. They were friends enough at this point that, I mean, I guess that because they were the clothes that she was wearing when she was dead, it's like, why would the stains be on there then? But part of me...
Are they going to like try to say that the blonde video was fucking Hannah? I'm going to throw hands. I'm going to start acting like the blonde in the video. Follow me.
So then we go back to London in the morning. It's a London fog, and Spencer's getting ready to leave, and Melissa strolls out and is like, okay, but what can you do once you get there? Just stay here. She's acting like Caroline when I'm like, okay, I gotta get on the flight that I scheduled to leave.
And I'm like, but and let's talk about this. What do you really need to do there? Yeah, exactly. What do you need to do there that you can't do from here? And she's like, why don't you just stay, like, I don't know, for... the interview. And Spencer's like, sorry, I'm just gonna reschedule it. Like, what's mom's friend's number? And Melissa goes, this is a little bit like, what was the plan here? Because we find out there is no interview. Ren has just been trying to call in a favor.
Melissa, like, this, if Spencer wasn't doing this right now, later in the day, Melissa would be like, oh, Spence, they had to cancel your interview. We're going to reschedule it for next
and
week.
And
next
hey,
month.
By the way, they literally just said no more lies. Clean slate, no more lies. What a freaking joke. That's rich. Absolutely
and
rich.
Spencer says, oh my gosh. And Melissa says, I was just trying to protect you. And Spencer says, the last time you did that, someone got killed.
Fighting words. And then Spencer leaves. So Emily's at the brew. She takes out
Emily
the receipt.
Emily calls Varjak.
She calls a number. That's that. Arya and Emily are meeting in Rosewood Times Square. And Ezra,
Arya
like,
and Ezra.
What did I say?
Emily.
Okay. Arya and Ezra are meeting in Rosewood Times Square. And Ezra says to Arya that Hannah is really strong, which I do appreciate. I'm like, yeah, finally someone gives her a little bit of fucking credit. But he says, I think she's going to be fine until she gets out on bail. And it's like, no, Arya should be stressing about this. She should be.
But don't worry, she's not. She just knows that this is a platitude because her friend is in jail, that as soon as Ezra sits down, she has to like go right. through the motions of being like, and I can't sleep thinking about Hannah in that cell. And then as soon as Ezra like puts her at ease enough so that now she can act at ease, she is like,
okay.
And I am going to break up with you right now, like officially.
Yeah, this was what she's like, okay, I need to talk about a relationship right now. I know I've been avoiding you because once I say what I'm about to say, there's no taking it back. But you're right. I did miss out on a lot of high school because of our relationship. Hell yeah. And also, Aria, he's not right. You're right. You're the one who wrote the email. Don't forget it. Don't forget it. Aria should have said, I was right. Email me was right. And she says, I think when I go away to college, I should be single. God, how I wish this was final.
Yeah.
God, and how I wish.
Like, well, it's better we end it now than later.
And he says it's the right choice, which thank God.
Yeah. So they decide that that's the truth. Then we go to the jail and someone's about to get paraded around these streets, these cells. And it's Hannah. And Allie is forced to.
Well, and how do we know Hannah's almost coming? How do we know? Because hear
everybody.
We hear cat calls like you wouldn't believe. And it's like, you know what? Yes, Hannah deserves it.
Imagine it's not Gasserole. Hannah. Imagine Hannah walks through and she's actually not in a somber mood at all. She's like, wait, Allie.
She's like, wait, work. Nice, I love being the most popular girl in school. Yeah, pretty much. She's like, finally.
And Allie like feels super guilty. But Allie's also confused because she at this point didn't.
But like, Allie, okay. I don't think Allie feels guilty here. Allie, I feel like, looks at Hannah. Well, maybe she does like afterwards, but when she first looks at Hannah, she gives her such a death glare. Like she literally did. Like looks her up and down and gives her like a death glare. It's like Allie's like mad because she's been the hot one and now Hannah's here and she's to compete, but they have a little death glare. And then I guess we see a little bit of like Allie maybe feeling remorse or like feeling bad, but not enough for my liking. Gotta say.
Yeah.
So
then we go back to the questioning room and Allie's lawyer says that the DA agreed that if she takes the plea, she can serve in a minimum security prison in Pennsylvania.
And it's called the Connell House.
Well, yes.
Minimum security prison. Well, yes. Just kidding. Maximum.
Absolute max.
Absolute max.
Depends. Depends on who you are.
Depends.
And... Ken says, apparently Ken told Rebecca that it's Allie's decision. And I'm like, that you are the worst dad in the world.
Allie shouldn't get to make it. Because here's the thing.
You can just figure that out.
Allie might not be a killer, okay? But she is two things. She is a fucking liar and she is a narcissist. And so those are like, that's like a recipe for disaster on a stand, on trial. And yeah. We just shouldn't be allowing her to make these decisions because she's a liar and because she's a narcissist, she's going to make the bad decision because she thinks she can win. Like she thinks she's going to, but she's wrong. So you guys shouldn't be letting
her
have
any agency. Even
though
I think in this moment, I think she thinks she's making this decision in the best interest of the group now. I think she's thinking about it through a different lens at this point.
Well, because she changed her mind and she's not taking it. Yeah, no, I agree. I think at this point,
if I don't take it and I don't confirm that it's Hannah, then yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right, V. And that's our episode, No A Scene. Lots of questions, and we're close to the end and of the season, and I have a lot of questions, and This email, oh my God, this episode honestly kind of felt like an email because we got so much fucking information. It felt like brain overload, but it was good. And I'm kind of excited for Hannah's jailbird edit and era.
Slay.
But I don't want it to last too long, thanks. Okay.
No.
So guys,
the next episode is called The Melody Lingers On. It's season 5, episode 23. This is the synopsis. Testimony at Allison's trial reveals a plethora of lies. Spencer, Aria, Emily, and Caleb follow a string of clues in hope of uncovering information that will clear Hannah.
Ah! Better. It freaking better. That's all I have to say. So, guys,
that's all I have to say.
That episode is going to be released in 1 week on the same day that our fun, spooktacular, and freaktastic giveaway begins. So, tune in next Thursday for our recap of season 5, episode 23 Of course, tune in next Tuesday for our pop culture episode and listen to our episode from this past Tuesday if you haven't already. We apparently told Chloe's life story. We told other people's stories, which you guys freaking love. Yeah, I'll get to your question. And Phoebe's hand is raised. We talked about freshman year, all kinds of things. So go listen to that. And then tomorrow on the Patreon, there will be a deep dive into the secret lives of Mormon wives, not just the TV show, but these women and mom talk and who they are. I've been gathering research, so it should be a good episode for you on Friday or tomorrow. Phoebe, what did you have to say? Thank you for your patience.
Do we have to talk about a theory?
Oh, we do have a theory. We do have a theory.
Look at me, guys.
Look at you. Well, the theory is sort of what I think is happening, or what I at least want to be happening, which is, what if Mona is alive and she's just faking it to get to A and unmask him for the girls and herself to win the A game? So that's all kind right. of like layered. I feel like on one hand, like, that is what was supposed to be happening. Like, that was,
yeah,
like,
I
what
agree.
The plan
that's
was.
That's what I hear when I hear that. Because that's kind of what Mike was explaining. And she wanted to, it was about winning for her. So I guess maybe the theory that people at this time would have had would be that the girls and Mike and everybody that now knows about that plan, they're all under the impression that it didn't work.
Mm.
But what if it did? Like, how would they know if it didn't work?
I mean,
it did
like
work. Like, Mike's reason for thinking it didn't work is because Mona stopped getting, like, Mona wasn't getting the stuff that he was leaving for her.
When Mona was, like, skipping out on their dates, their, like, planned meetups. So that's, I would love it if that was true. I'm starting to think it's not. But
yeah,
I like that idea better than the theory last week, which is that Allie and Mona are, like, working together and that they're trying to take down the girls. Because for whatever reason, I'm just still rooting for these girls. I'm just so rooting for this band of misfits. I really am. But I think if that's what Mona's planning to do, I'm going to need to see her show her cards a little bit soon before the end of season 5. I kind of, though.
Yeah.
And I know this isn't, like, going to help us talk about this theory, but it looked like the preview for the final episode of the season is, like, it almost looks like an in memoriam episode.
I can't remember.
And it is making me feel like it's going to be the, okay, we're not going to let you go into season 6 thinking Mona might be alive.
Yeah.
Which is really going to be a tough one for me. I'm going to have a tough time with that because I want her to be alive and I want her to, like, be winning. I would love it if Mona ended up winning the A game. Like, that would be so iconic. And frankly,
she created it.
She created it. She deserves to win it. You know, like, she, but it is just unlikely, I think, that that is what's happening, but I would love it. And I honestly, what if we find out she, like, never liked Mike? It was all a ruse. And she just hasn't been meeting him up with him because she's the ick. She has the ick, and she couldn't get
testament.
Over it.
It's a real testament to Janelle Parrish's acting to get us to love this supervillain character so,
like,
much.
Like, we are trying to do these mental gymnastics to keep her alive.
To be like, no, so, I know, like, we saw her body.
I'll do anything at this point. Like, I just want 5 more minutes with Mona, you know? 5 more minutes.
But honestly, what a sick thing for the writers to do to, like, to completely kill her off, but then give us enough so that the fans who are already speculating that she might still be alive, then they weave that into the show.
Yeah.
Of, like, well, here's how that could be true.
Yeah.
But actually, we're going to freaking slap you right back down on the floor and tell you that that failed and that, hey, girl, she's dead.
So, like, if Mona is alive and she's, like, pulling all the strings and doing all of this, do you think she's lumping Allie into, like, the girls and, like, she wants us all to be good for the girls? Or do you think she, like, doesn't care if Allie's collateral damage in that theory?
Well, I think for Mona, it would be both, because in this theory, if the plan worked, the plan that Mike was aware of worked, Mona isn't pulling the strings so much as being told how to pull. Like, she's not choosing which strings to pull.
Mm-hmm.
The real A is telling her what to do. And I think in A's mind, the new A, Allie is a part of the girls and she wants to punish Allie.
Okay. Yeah.
So Mona, I think for Mona, it's become so much about winning the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It doesn't even really matter what is happening. I think all the girls are collateral damage to Mona finding out who A is, if this is
including Hannah.
Yeah, I think she'd be so wrapped up in...
Well, it's like we saw...
That conversation we saw between Mike and Mona where she's like so...
I mean, she seems like that like hyped up kind of like frenetic, crazy energy of someone who is sick, someone who is not well. Yeah. And it's like her drug of choice in this situation is like, yeah, winning. And it's like taking this unhealthy level of competitiveness to like a whole other level, like throwing Spencer Hastings out of the game completely. It's like, this isn't a game to her. This is like, well, it is, but it's like everything is, I feel like she looks at the world like it's a game instead of looking 100%. At it. Like there are very it's real like, consequences
she's like,
here.
The Queen's Gambit.
Yeah.
The way that she would see chess.
Yes. Like
except chess is harmless.
It's just completely, yes. It's just completely, well, and we thought. And we thought, and the Queen's Gambit taught us maybe not. But yeah, it's just this, like, it has overtaken her. The puzzle has overtaken her, and she just seems like she's completely lost it. Like, I hate to say it, but it's, like, reminding me of, like, when some character, you know, has to take medication to stay stable, and they don't take it. And it's like, oh, they're acting a little erratic. Like, what's up? That was kind of how Mona was acting in that conversation with Mike. And then she is gone. And then she died. So it like makes sense that whatever, it was just getting too, it was snowballing into be like way too much. But anyway.
Right.
Okay. Well, guys, don't Good forget theory. Next week on Tuesday, you can go to the Instagram account at Liars Until Death and submit your fan theories. And then we will talk about one of them on next Thursday's episode as well. So make sure you're following that account. And of course, make sure you are following us at The Pretty Little Podcast. The O in podcast is a zero on Instagram. And on TikTok, it's at The Pretty Little Podcast. And all of the letters are completely normal. So go follow us there, especially if you are interested in entering our giveaway. You are not going to want to miss the updates. We're posting all about it. And next Thursday, we'll post everything that's going to be in it. But it's a very exciting one. You do not want to miss it. And then, of course, stay tuned for our Patreon tomorrow. Episodes next week. And I think that's all we need to say. Please go leave us a 5-star review and tell everyone you know about us. We love you so much. And we'll see you next week.
And splat.